Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one of For the Record program number 772, titled Body Count 2, subtitled Collateralized Death Obligations. This is being recorded on February 9th of the year 2014. In For the Record program number 742, titled Body Count, subtitled Sweet Home Alabama, we took a look at some highly suspicious alleged suicides that took place in Alabama that occurred at about the same time as there were some ongoing investigations into a number of different GOP-related political shenanigans in the state of Alabama. And the circumstances surrounding those alleged suicides were, well, let's just say the notion that they were suicide was extremely far-fetched. Again, that was in, For the Record, 742, recorded in the spring of 2011. What we're going to be looking at in this program is, once again, a very disturbing pattern of, quote, suicides, unquote, that have taken place in the financial industry as a number of very important legal investigations are taking place into many of the institutions for which some of these, quote, suicide victims have worked or had previously worked. Also some people connected with institutions such as Russell Investment, which were involved with giving testimony in connection with these investigations, though not necessarily implicated in wrongdoing themselves. In the financial collapse of 2008, and in the run-up to that, there were a number of hallucinatory financial instruments that were created and whose very hallucinatory nature ultimately led directly to the collapse, because so many of the world's major financial institutions basically bought in on the hallucination, and as Sigmund Freud once said, participants in a delusion will not, of course, recognize it as such. And the financial crisis has continued to dog, I guess one could say, the financial industry. Sadly, reforms that were implemented were inadequate and relatively superficial, and it looks like many of the same large financial institutions are still on drugs and are still engaging in those hallucinatory investment vehicles. We're going to take a look at the very suspicious deaths that have befallen, and in this case quite literally in some cases, because people have allegedly committed suicide by jumping off the roofs of locked and very secure buildings, or leaping over 4-foot-tall fences and killing themselves by going down a 50-foot highway embankment. And we're going to be taking a look at these highly suspicious deaths, a rash of which has been coincident with these legal investigations, and we're going to be asking ourselves whether perhaps what we are looking at here are collateralized death obligations. Not collateralized debt obligations, D-E-B as in boy, T, but death, D-E-A-T-H. And that is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at the number of executives who have bought the farm, and also at the same time, there has been, in addition to these legal investigations, we should note that the European Union is attempting to shore up the major financial institutions, banks in particular, in the European Union, and one of the largest EU banks, Deutsche Bank, is, shall we say, it looks to be rather shaky, and people connected with Deutsche Bank have bit the farm, as bought the farm, I should say, bit the dust, as we shall see. Also, there has been turmoil in what are known as emerging markets, including Argentina, where foreign exchange holdings by Argentine banks have been the subject of a recent decree by the Argentine government. Right at that time, there was a highly suspicious fire in Argentina in a supposedly fireproof building that killed a number of first responders. So we're going to be taking a look at the collateralized death obligations right now. Our first story is by Belinda Goldsmith and Thomas Atkins, A-T-K-I-N-S of Reuters, January 28, 2014, ex-Deutsche Bank manager found dead in apparent suicide, unquote. William Brokesmith, B-R-O-E-K-S-M-I-T, a former senior manager at Deutsche Bank with close ties to co-chief executive Anshu Jain, that's A-N-S-H-U-J-A-I-N, has been found dead at his home in London in what appears to have been a suicide. Anshu Jain and the bank's other co-CEO, Jürgen Fichten, that's J-U-E-R-G-E-N-F-I-T-S-C-H-E-N, announced William Brokesmith's death in an internal mail to Deutsche Bank employees. When asked about the death, London's Metropolitan Police issued a statement saying a 58-year-old man had been found hanging at a house in South Kensington on Sunday afternoon and had been pronounced dead at the scene. Police declared the death non-suspicious. Brokesmith, a U.S. national, was an instrumental founder of Deutsche's investment bank and one of many bankers, including Jain, who joined Germany's flagship lender from Merrill Lynch in the 1990s when Deutsche Bank launched plans to compete on Wall Street. Brokesmith was also a principal actor in Deutsche's efforts to unwind its riskier positions and to reduce the size of its balance sheet in the wake of the global financial crisis. His death comes at an uncomfortable juncture for both Jain and Fichten, whose reign has been dogged by poor results and legal troubles since they took over from Josef Ackermann in 2012. So note again that William Brokesmith was involved in trying to unwind some of the riskier positions and to help Deutsche Bank's balance sheet in the wake of the global financial crisis, and that co-CEOs Anshu Jain and Jürgen Fichten have been dealing with not only poor results, but, quote, legal troubles. Take a look, take note of, Josef Ackermann, capital J-O-S-E-F, last name capital A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N-N. He is the former CEO. We're going to take a look at some of his post-Deutsche Bank activities later on in the program. Continuing with this Reuters story about the death, the alleged suicide of William Brokesmith. The two CEOs of Deutsche Bank are expected to defend their reform record at the bank's annual news conference on Wednesday. Last week, they revealed that litigation and restructuring costs had pushed Deutsche to a surprise loss in the fourth quarter of 2013. Again, note that EU is attempting to shore up the weaker banks, and Deutsche Bank is one of the biggest banks in Europe. Continuing, William Brokesmith, who worked as head of risk and capital optimization, was viewed as one of Anshu Jain's closest allies and a key player in the bank's attempts to recover following the financial crisis. Jain sought to have Brokesmith join the management board as head of risk management in 2012, but in a major setback for both men, German regulator BaFin, that's B-A-F as in Frank, I-N as in Nancy, blocked the appointment of Brokesmith, saying that he lacked experience leading large teams. BaFin was not immediately available for comment. The Bundesbank, which also oversees Deutsche Bank, declined to comment. Brooks-Schmidt had worked alongside Anshu Jain at Merrill Lynch before joining Deutsche Bank in 1996 as part of a group of roughly 100 bankers who, alongside Edson Mitchell, that's E-D-S as in Sam O-M, last name M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, formed the core of Deutsche's new investment banking business. Edson Mitchell, one of the bank's most powerful executives, died in a plane crash in 2000. And right about the same time, in fact, carried in a Reuters story that was dated the same date, January 28th of 2014, a J.P. Morgan tech executive plunged to his death at the same time. This was a fellow named Gabriel McGee, last name M-A-G-E-E. Note again that J.P. Morgan and Deutsche Bank are both under investigation in a number of contexts, including and especially the manipulating the $5 trillion a day foreign exchange market. So both of the institutions for which these people were working or had worked are under investigation. Again, Reuters, January 28th of 2014, J.P. Morgan IT executive plunges to death at Bank's London HQ. It's by Costas, C-O-S-T-A-S, Pitas, P-I-T-A-S, and Laura Noonan, N-O-O-N-A-N. It reads in part, a J.P. Morgan tech executive fell to his death from the U.S. bank's 33-story tower in London's Canary Wharf financial district on Tuesday in what British police said was a, quote, non-suspicious, unquote, incident. Police were called to the glass skyscraper at 8:02 Greenwich Mean Time, where a 39-year-old man was pronounced dead at the scene after hitting a lower ninth-floor roof. Witnesses said the body remained on the roof for several hours. London police said no arrests had been made and the incident was being treated as non-suspicious at this early stage. A source familiar with the matter confirmed that the deceased was Gabriel McGee, M-A-G-E-E, a vice president with the J.P. Morgan corporate and investment bank technology arm, who had been an employee there since 2004, skipping down. Though the details of Tuesday's incident are still unclear, occasional suicides by people working in London's big banks have provoked criticism of the demands placed on some financial services workers. A Bank of America exchange manager jumped in front of a train, and another man jumped from a seventh-floor restaurant, both in 2012. A German-born intern at Bank of America died of epilepsy last year in London. And yet another death, an alleged suicide at almost exactly the same time, the same time period. This is an article from the Bloomberg News Service of January 31st of 2014. It's by Zachary Tracer, T-R-A-C-E-R, Noah Buhayar, B-U-H-A-Y-A-R, and Jeff Kearns, K-E-A-R-N-S. Russell Investments chief economist Duker found dead. This is about Michael Duker, last name capital D-U-E-K-E-R. Mike Duker, the chief economist at Russell Investments, was found dead at the side of a highway that leads to the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Washington State, according to the Pierce County Sheriff's Department. He was 50 years old at the time of his death. He may have jumped over a 4-foot or 1.2-meter-high fence before falling down a 40- to 50-foot highway embankment, Pierce County Detective Ed Troyer said yesterday. That last name is T-R-O-Y-E-R. He said the death appeared to be a suicide. Duker was reported missing on January 29th, and a group of friends had been searching for him along with law enforcement. Troyer said the economist was having problems at work without elaborating. Duca was in good standing at Russell, said Jennifer Tice, TICE, a company spokeswoman. She declined to comment on Troyer's statement about Duca's work issues. Quote, "We are deeply saddened to learn today of the death," Tice said in an email yesterday. Again quoting, "He made valuable contributions that helped our clients and many of his fellow associates," unquote. Duca worked at Seattle-based Russell for 5 years and developed a business cycle index that forecast economic performance. He was previously an assistant vice president and research economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. He published dozens of research papers over the past 2 decades, many of them on monetary policy, according to the St. Louis Fed's website, which ranks him among the top 5% of economists by number of works published. His most cited work was a 1997 paper titled, quote, "Strengthening the Case for the Yield Curve as a Predictor of U.S. Recessions," published by the Reserve Bank while he was a researcher there. Duca worked at the Reserve Bank from 1991 to 2008, starting as an entry-level research economist and then advancing to senior economist, research officer, and assistant vice president, according to Laura Giresh, a spokeswoman, last name G-I-R-R as in Roger, E-S-C-H. Continuing, he helped the bank's president prepare for Federal Open Market Committee policy meetings and wrote and edited for economy publications, she said. Duca served as editor of the Reserve Bank's research publication, Monetary Trends, and also was an associate editor of the Journal of Business and Economic Statistics, Giresh said. He was a valued colleague of mine during my entire tenure at the St. Louis Fed, said William Poole, P-O-O-L-E, who was president of the Reserve Bank from 1998 to 2008. Everyone respected his professional skills and good sense, unquote. One of the more depressing aspects of these stories concerns the lack of apparent lack of curiosity of people into the circumstances surrounding this epidemic of deaths or rash of deaths. Nobody appears to be shocked. And it is, I think, indicative of the failings of this society that more people are not having some pointed questions about these deaths. It reminds me of the famous poem by John Donne, where he said, "Therefore send not for to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." And one of the really sad and scary things is that people of means, and these are not small people, anonymous people, these are people of means who have died under very strange circumstances, and we're going to see some people who died under either even stranger circumstances, and yet people are not asking questions. One of the few people who is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal named Pam, P-A-M, Martins, capital M-A-R-T-E-N-S. In the Wall Street Journal of February 3rd of 2014, Ms. Martins had an article called "A Rash of Deaths and a Missing Reporter with Ties to Wall Street Investigations." In addition to the deaths of Mr. Duca, McGee, and Brokesmith, a Wall Street Journal reporter disappeared from the face of the earth as he was covering some of these investigations. And Pam Martins, unlike so many others, is asking some questions. Her article, "In the span of 4 days last week, two current executives and one recently retired top-ranking executive of major financial firms were found dead. Both media and police have been quick to label the deaths as likely suicides. Missing from the reports is the salient fact that all three of the financial firms the executives worked for are under investigation for potentially serious financial fraud. The deaths began on Sunday, January 26th. London police reported that William Brokesmith, a top executive at Deutsche Bank who had retired in 2013, had been found hanged at his home in South Kent, in the South Kensington section of London. The day after Brokesmith was pronounced dead, Eric Ben Archie, last name capital B-E-N hyphen A-R-T-Z as in zebra I, a former risk analyst turned whistleblower at Deutsche Bank, was scheduled to speak at Auburn University in Alabama on his allegations that Deutsche had hid $12 billion in losses during the financial crisis with the knowledge of senior executives. Two other whistleblowers have brought similar charges against Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is also under investigation by global regulators for potentially rigging the foreign exchange markets, an action similar to the charges it settled in 2013 over its traders' involvement in the rigging of the interest rate benchmark LIBOR, L-I-B-O-R. Just 2 days after Brokesmith's death, on Tuesday, January 28th, a 39-year-old American, Gabriel McGee, a vice president at J.P. Morgan in London, plunged to his death from the roof of the 33-story European headquarters of J.P. Morgan in Canary Wharf. According to McGee's LinkedIn profile, he was involved in, quote, technical architecture oversight for planning, development, and operation of systems for fixed income securities and interest rate derivatives, unquote. McGee's parents, Bill and Nell McGee, are not buying the official story, according to press reports, and are planning to travel from the United States to London to get at the truth. One of their key issues, which should also trouble the police, is how an employee obtains access to the rooftop of one of the most highly secure buildings in all of London. Nell McGee was quoted in the London Evening Standard saying her son was, quote, a happy person who was happy with his life, unquote. His friends are equally mystified, stating that he was in a happy, long-term relationship with a girlfriend. J.P. Morgan is under the same global investigation for potential involvement in rigging foreign exchange rates as is Deutsche Bank. The firm is also said to be under an investigation by the U.S. Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations for its involvement in potential misconduct in physical commodities markets in the U.S. and London. Note more about that. One day after McGee's death, on Wednesday, January 29th, 2014, 50-year-old Michael Mike Duker, the chief economist at Russell Investments, is said to have died from a 50-foot fall from a highway ramp down an embankment in Washington State. Again, suicide is being presented by media as the likely cause. And then Pam Martin's notes in parentheses, do people holding PhDs really attempt suicide by jumping 50 feet? And I would note that after supposedly jumping over a four-foot-high fence. Continuing, according to a report in the New York Times in November of 2013, Russell Investments, for which Duker worked, was one of a number of firms that received subpoenas from New York State regulators who are probing the potential for pay-to-play schemes involving pension funds based in New York. No allegations of wrongdoing have been made against Russell Investments in the matter. The case of David Byrd, B-I-R-D, the oil markets reporter who had worked at the Wall Street Journal for 20 years and who vanished without a trace on the afternoon of January 11th of 2014, has this in common with the other three tragedies. His work involves a commodities market, oil, which is under investigation by the U.S. Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations for possible manipulation. The FBI is involved in the Byrd investigation. Byrd left his Long Hill, New Jersey home on that Saturday, telling his wife that he was going for a walk. An intentional disappearance is incompatible with the fact that he left the house wearing a bright red jacket and without his life-sustaining medicine that he was required to take as a result of having had a liver transplant. Despite a continuous search since his disappearance by hundreds of volunteers, local law enforcement, and the FBI, Byrd has not been located. And then Pam Martins in this next paragraph says what a lot of other people should be saying about this. When a series of tragic events involving one industry occur within an 18-day time frame, the statistical probability of these events being random is remote. According to a number of media reports, J.P. Morgan is conducting an internal investigation of the death of Gabriel McGee. Given that J.P. Morgan, Deutsche Bank, and Russell Investments are subjects themselves of investigations, a far more serious, independent look at these deaths is called for. Again, note that Gabriel McGee's parents are traveling to London to investigate his death. Note also that Mike Duker's death, as Pam Martins noted, that's a very bad case of suicide, supposedly jumping over a 4-foot fence and then jumping, running, falling, whatever, down a 50-foot, 40 to 50-foot highway embankment. And Donald Byrd vanished under very strange circumstances. I would note also, we're going to come back to Deutsche Bank and its resigned CEO, Josef Ackermann, about whom we heard more previously. We're going to take a look at what he had begun doing after leaving Deutsche Bank and some of the circumstances that befell some of his subordinates at his new place of employment, the Zurich Insurance Group in Switzerland. And Mike Duker's death by supposedly jumping over a 4-foot highway embankment, a 4-foot fence, and then jumping, falling, rolling, tumbling down a 40 to 50-foot highway embankment. If that sounds strange, that is absolutely Professor Moriarty work. Professor Moriarty was Sherlock Holmes' arch nemesis, compared with a death we're going to take a look at in Side 2, but we are almost out of time. I made a reference to, for the record, program 742, Body Count, Body Count Part 1. That audio file, all of the descriptions for all of my programs, and in fact, my entire life's work is up on the SpitfireList.com for download for free, including a library of old anti-fascist books. And everything on the website, plus a vast amount of supplemental information, including videotaped lectures, is available on a flash drive that is available from, you can obtain by visiting a link on the SpitfireList.com website. Also, as a marathon premium, if you pledge to many of the stations that carry this program. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program number 772, Body Count Part 2, subtitled Collateralized Death Obligations. This has been recorded on February 9th of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.